Good morning. Please rise as you are able for our call to worship. No matter how far we wander from you, O God, your steadfast love finds us. No matter how unjust the world seems to us, O God, your steadfast righteousness sustains us. No matter how vulnerable our lives seem to us, O God, your steadfast presence gives us hope. No matter how unloved and uncared for we feel, O God, you hear our cries and answer our prayers. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. I'm glad that you're here to worship with us on this glorious day. Hadn't it been a glorious weekend? Woo, I've been having a good time. So glad that you're worshiping with us. If you're a guest, we're blessed that you're here. If you are a first-time guest, we're especially blessed that you're here. If you've not already done so, we ask that you would stop by our hospitality center. We have a gift, and we want to make sure that you get it. If you're worshiping with us online, we're delighted that you've joined us there. Please catch the little pop-up box so we know that you're worshiping with us. And on each row, you'll find our attendance pad. If you would fill that out, pass it to your neighbor so that they can fill it out. We would appreciate it. You can drop it in the offering plate as it comes by during our offering time. Have a few announcements I'd like to lift up for you. We just had winter break, but spring break is right around the corner, and we are having an open gym day during spring break on March the 16th. It's from 9 to 11. It's not a drop-off event. Come and bring your children or your grandchildren. We'll have some snacks, and we'll have some inflatables, balls, and toys for kids to play with. It's a lot of fun. So bring your neighbor, bring your friend as well. So we're having a church work day on March the 18th. I didn't see anybody get out your calendar to put this down. Work day, March the 18th from 9 to 1. We'll have inside and outside work, but we want to just basically make our campus super beautiful for all the guests that we're anticipating for Easter Sunday. So please come and be a part of that on the 18th. We need your help. So we're going to have a town hall meeting on March the 26th after this service. It also will be a church conference. Now, we're having a town hall meeting because that's a part of our governance structure, is we about once a quarter get together and we tell you what's happening. And that's the whole purpose of it. The purpose of the church conference is that we need your vote to amend our bylaws. We are a Texas 501c3 corporation, and we have made some amendments to our bylaws since we have joined the Global Methodist Church. And so we need your approval of those. We'll have some more instructions on how you can review those before our church conference on March the 26th. So Palm Sunday is right around the corner. It's April the 2nd. We're having, it's a big community outreach event. We're going to have thousands of eggs with candy, and it's going to be a big egg hunt. We're going to have some food for folks. We're going to have a petting zoo. It's a really great opportunity for you to invite your neighbor to come and be a part of this. So it's going to be great fun, Palm Sunday. So please come, make it, put it on your calendar. It's going to start immediately after this service. And bring your neighbors and your friends. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I don't go to movies very often. In fact, I've been to the movie theater twice in 5 years. But I went Friday night with my wife to go see the movie Jesus Revolution. And I commend that to you. It was really a great movie about some things that happened in the 70s. And there's, I believe, some sort of parallels to things that are happening today. And so it was a great movie. We really enjoyed it, and I commend that to you. So I'd like to invite you to stand and greet your neighbor and offer them the peace of Christ. So normally we have children's time. It's why our kids are all running up here. But we have a baptism today, and we're so excited about that. So brothers and sisters in Christ, baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which we become partakers of his righteousness and heirs of eternal life. Those receiving the sacraments are thereby marked as Christian disciples and initiated into the fellowship of Christ's holy church. Our Lord has given to little children a place among the people of God, and this holy privilege must not be denied them. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God." I present to you this day Holden Ryan, son of Natalie and Nicholas Deerhake, for holy baptism. To you all, I have some questions. Do you, in presenting Holden for holy baptism, renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world? Do you repent of your sin, turn to Jesus Christ, and confess him as your Lord and your Savior? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the holy scriptures of the Old and the New Testament? Will you obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in them all the days of your life by the grace and power of God? Natalie and Nicholas, will you nurture Holden in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And to you, the congregation, will you witness, you who witness these vows, will you encourage Holden in the faith and do all in your power to support him in his life with Christ? If you will, say, we will.
Awesome. Okay, Holden, it's a big moment. You ready? Look at this. In the water? All right. Holden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now I ask you to welcome your newest brother in Christ, Holden. Nick is also coming to join our congregation today by transfer of membership. So to Nick, we ask you, will you be loyal to Atascocita Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Excellent. And so the congregation, I commend to you these persons for your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We rejoice and bid you welcome to Atascocita Methodist Church with you, renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Excellent. Yay! Good job, Holden.
Welcome to newest brothers in Christ.
Amen. Okay, Heavenly Father, be with us this morning as we find ourselves in the season of Lent and turn our eyes to the horizon and the coming of Easter. Help us to see this season as a journey, to cast away our struggles, and to receive you more fully into our lives. We ask that you make this season one where we find our way out of the darkness and our way back to you. Today we raise in prayer our friends, our families, and our neighbors who are in need of help or those who grieve. We pray that they keep their trust in you strong. We especially pray for the Herndon and the Spence-Cheney families as they mourn the recent passing of John and Martha. We lift up our sister in Christ, Nancy Bogosi, who is ill and in need of healing. We each lift up to you now those we keep in our hearts and their needs, which you know. Remind them and remind us that it was never your promise to have a life without grief or pain. Your promise is that you will stand with us or for us when we hurt. Your promise is to heal our hearts when they break. Let us feel your presence during this time, God. We also raise this morning our celebrations and our joys, and we ask that you would help us see these moments as blessings from you. Help us to see the joy in every moment. Help us to find more opportunities to experience where you are working in our lives. We pray that the church continues to grow and embraces its role as a life changer and a life saver to our community. We ask that you remind each of us just how key we all are to being the hands and feet of God. Help us to find opportunities to be there for people who need us and for people who need to be called back to you. We ask that for all those we have raised in prayer, that you provide a person of faith to be with them in their journey and struggle, and help us to see when we are called to be that person of faith. We raise these prayers along with the prayers that we have yet to even understand or articulate, but that we know you know, in the name of Jesus, with confidence that they are heard and that all will be well. Amen. You know, a lot of times I think we think of worship as a noun. It's a place, right? We're here, we came, we come to it. But it's a verb, really. It's something that we do. It's something that we offer back to God for all of the goodness and generosity that he gives us. And we've come to our time of worship this morning where we have the ability to do that, to take a moment to appreciate all of the amazing gifts and blessings in our lives that come through the work of God and respond to that joyfully. And so you can do that this morning by the passing of the plate, the boxes in the back of the sanctuary, or even via text or online. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning so glad that we have the opportunity to worship and to give back to you just a small portion of all that you have given to us. We ask that you would take these gifts, bless and equip them, and send them out into the world as a sign of your mercy and grace for all those who need to hear of your love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 7 through 30.
They came to the day of unleavened bread, a holy day when a special lamb, called the Passover lamb, had to be sacrificed. Jesus chose Peter and John and gave them instructions.
Go and make all the necessary preparations for the Passover meal so we can eat together.
Where do you want us to make the preparations?
When you enter the city, you'll encounter a man carrying a jar of water. Just follow him wherever he goes, and when he enters a house, tell the homeowner, "The teacher has this question for you. Where is the guest room where I can share the Passover meal with my disciples?" He'll show you a spacious second-story room that has all the necessary furniture. That's where you should prepare our meal.
They did as he said and found everything just as he said it would be. And they prepared the Passover meal. When the meal was ready, Jesus sat at the table, joined by his disciples.
It has been my deep desire to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Know this, I will not eat another Passover meal until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
He took a cup of wine and gave thanks for it.
Take this and share it among yourselves. And know this, I will not drink another sip of wine until the kingdom of God has arrived in fullness.
Then he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with them.
This is my body that's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And similarly, after the meal had been eaten, he took the cup.
This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant made in my blood. But even now, the hand of my betrayer is with me on this table. As it has been determined, the Son of Man must be betrayed, but how pitiful it will be for the person who betrays him.
They immediately began questioning each other.
Which one of us could do such a horrible thing?
Soon they found themselves arguing about the opposite question.
But which one of us is the most faithful, the most important?
The authority figures of the Gentiles play this game, flexing their muscles in competition for power over one another, masking their quest for domination behind words like benefactor or public servant. But you must not indulge in this charade. Instead, among you, the greatest must become like the youngest, and the leader must be a true servant. Who is greater right here as we eat this meal? Those of us who sit at this table or those who serve us? Doesn't everyone normally assume that those who are served are greater than those who serve? But consider my role among you. I have been with you as a servant. You have stood beside me faithfully through my trials. I give you a kingdom just as the Father has given me a kingdom. You will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will have authority over the 12 tribes of Israel.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So our Lenten sermon series, Vantage Point, is continuing. It's a series in which we're looking at the last week of Jesus And we're looking at the different players and sort of their perspective on Jesus. And we looked last week at the Jewish establishment. Today, clearly, we are looking at the disciples and sort of their view on Jesus and what is happening. So let's sort of just review what the disciples have seen. So in the Gospel of Luke, the first disciples were called by Jesus, and he was teaching along the lake, and he asked Simon Peter, to take him out into the lake a little ways so that he could speak to the crowds. The water was sort of an ancient microphone. And so if you were out on the boat, the water would carry your voice into the land a lot better. And so he had asked Simon to do this for him. And so at the end of it, Jesus tells Simon, says, okay, let down your nets. And Simon Peter goes, well, we fished all night. We didn't catch nothing. And Jesus says, well, put your nets down. He says, because you are the master, we will do that. And they let down the nets and had a miraculous catch of fish that was so heavy the nets were breaking. And Simon had to wave his friend James and John to come along. And so that's how the first three disciples became followers of Jesus. Then Jesus specifically names the 12 disciples and calls them apostles. So they've been following Jesus around for close to 3 years. And over that span, in the Gospel of Luke, they saw him do 23 miracles, one of which was the net, the big catch. But some of the miracles were him raising up two dead people. He fed the 5,000 men, plus all of the others. Peter, James, and John got to see Christ transfigured and talking with Moses and Elijah. They watched Jesus walk on water and calm a storm. They sat there and watched him heal lepers, give sight to the blind, healed somebody with a withered hand who then had a whole limb. They sat there for his teachings. They sat there for his teachings on the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. They listened to all of the parables and all of his teachings. Now we've heard in our text that we read, they don't even get a clue. We're one day from Jesus' death. One day. We've had the Last Supper. And the disciples have said nothing about the suffering that Jesus is about to endure. Not only that, but he has told them twice that he's going to have to die. Told them once that he was going to be resurrected on the third day. And they don't have a clue. Jesus then sends Peter, James, and John to prepare the Passover. And he tells them exactly what's going to happen, and it happens exactly as Jesus tells them it's going to happen. Now, scholars sort of differ about what's happening there. Is this evidence of Jesus' prescient knowledge that he knows everything that's about to happen? Or is this something that he had pre-planned, that he had made an arrangement with? But what I do know is there was no comment by the disciples about, wow, everything happened just like Jesus said it was going to. So they had come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so they come to celebrate that. And remind you that the Passover was the celebratory meal. It was a meal of remembrance for the Jews having survived the 10th plague and having been freed from slavery in Egypt. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. And it affected everybody, animals, Egyptians, kings, common people, except the Jews, because they had been given instructions to kill a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put it over their door. And so they were passed over for the death of the firstborn child. Jesus then says the words that you're going to hear a little bit later as we celebrate communion. Jesus creates in this moment his followers, our Christian meal of remembrance, at the Jewish ceremony of remembrance. It seems to me that it is most appropriate that at the celebration of the Passover, there he creates the sacrament by which we remember what Jesus has done for us, and that we too have been passed over, that we as followers of Jesus the Christ are free from slavery to sin and death. And when we come to the Lord's table and we remember the price that was paid, we remember that we are indeed passed over from the wages of slavery, of sin, and death as we inherit eternal life. He tells the disciples that the bread is his body, that it is broken for them and for the world. He goes on to tell them that this wine represents my blood, which is being poured out for you and for the rest of the world. He spells out for him that he will suffer and that he will die. How did the disciples respond to this revelation? They start wondering who's going to betray him. And then they start arguing about who is the greatest among them. There is nothing, not one word of recognition that Jesus is about to suffer a painful death and to die on a cross. They don't even look at him and say, hey, that's pretty rough, bro. I'm going to pray for you. There's nothing from the disciples about the suffering that Jesus is about to endure. The disciples are dense. They have no clue what God is up to. They have no clue what God is doing all around them. They are in the big, fat middle of what God is doing to redeem his people, and they don't know it. They don't have a clue. Aren't we just like them? Aren't we just like the disciples? God is doing things in us, on us, through us, all around us. And we fail to see it. We fail to notice what God is doing in our midst. We don't realize that we are in the big fat middle of what God is doing in this world and that he is wanting to use us to do it. We don't recognize that God is at work all around us. Now, the truth is, we're pretty good about being able to look back in our lives and say, yeah, I see the fingerprints of God here, and I see the fingerprints of God there in my life. I can see where God was at work. But when it comes to the present moment, we're as dim as the disciples. We don't look to see, we don't open our ears to hear what God is doing in our midst. Then Jesus tells them what's important in his kingdom. He turns the world's values upside down on its ears. They're arguing about who among them is the greatest, who among them is the most faithful. And Jesus tells them, those are the values of the world, and they have no place in the kingdom of God. They lived in a world in which people, elders, were celebrated. They were respected. People tried to gather honor and power. And Jesus is telling them, that has no place in my kingdom. You need to be like the youngest amongst us, which is like the lowest, the least powerful, the least influential. He goes on to say that if you are to be a part of my kingdom, you are here to serve. You are to be a servant. Jesus is telling his disciples that in the kingdom of God, you need to check your ego. It is not about you. It's not about what you get. It's about what you give. It's about what you give away. It's not about what you take. It's about what you give away in service. In the kingdom of God, those who serve are the ones to be honored and praised. Jesus is making it clear that to be a follower of his means that you are serving others with all that you are, with all that you have. What is the world telling you that's important? What is keeping you from serving others? Open your eyes. God's work is happening all around you, happening in you, on you, and through you. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means to say, I am here to serve. What is it the world is telling you is important? How are you willing to serve? Let us pray. Gracious God, open our eyes and our ears that we might see and hear all the many ways that you are at work in us, on us, and through us. Help us to be a little more insightful than the disciples. Help us to be ever mindful of the price that was paid, that we might be passed over from the wages of sin and death. Almighty God, make us ever ready to serve you and to serve your children. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which we talked about, which we heard read about. And let me just remind you that this is the Lord's table. It doesn't belong to Atascocita Methodist Church or a larger denomination. This is the Lord's table, and as Wesleyans, we believe that it is a means of grace. We believe that it is a way to experience God's love for you. And so all are welcome here at this table. You don't need to be a member of this church. The bar is that you want to love Jesus. That's the bar. So all are welcome here at the Lord's table. We're going to serve by intinction. You'll be given a piece of bread. Take it, dip it in the cup, and eat it. Our prayer rail is open. I encourage you to stop and pray once you've received communion. And we will also have a little tray that will have some gluten-free stuff if you need that. So, what a joy it is to gather with you this day and gather around the Lord's table.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God,
we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain, he heard your still small voice. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for your sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted in grace to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He again blessed it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. With the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Almighty God, as we come before your table, we remember the sacrifice, the suffering that was paid that we might be forgiven, that we might receive the gift of eternal life. Father, make us ever mindful of the gift that you have given us and the price that was paid. Help us to go out into the world to serve others, to be your hands and feet. Father, for the privilege of gathering at your table and remembering you, we are forever grateful. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Remember last week when you got out 10 minutes early? I got 5 of them back today. Go forth from this place. Resist the call of the world. Open your eyes to what God is doing in your midst. Go from this place to serve others with all that you are, with all that you have, and all that you can be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.